The scripture lesson, which was from Matthew 27, verse 22. I'll repeat it for us. And it said, Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, Let him be crucified. Would you bow with me as we pray? We thank you, Lord, for this night. We pray, Lord, that your word would speak to each and every person here. We thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. So over the past few weeks of Lent, we've been going through what we call the questions of Lent. Now, hopefully through the scripture and the asking of these questions, your faith has been growing. But tonight is going to be a little different. For the past few weeks, Pastor Kent, Pastor Joe, and myself have asked the question, and then for the most part, the question is answered from the pulpit. But tonight will be different. It must be different. You need to ask this question to yourself. And you are the only person that can answer this question. The question is from our text. And it's even on the screen. And the question is, what shall I do with Jesus? Now this might seem a little weird, but I'm going to ask that each and every one of you ask yourself this question out loud, loud enough for me to hear you. All right? So, on the count of three, if you would all ask this question to yourself out loud. All right? One, two, three. Hey, that wasn't too bad. All right. But now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and softly to yourself, ask yourself the same question. All right, you can open your eyes if you wish. Now, I can't answer this question for you. Your parents cannot answer this question for you. Your grandparents, Pastor Kent, Joe, no one can answer this question for you. You have to answer this question for yourself. Now, as we look at the verses in the context of the Bible, what shall I do with Jesus? Is actually being asked by Pilate to a crowd of people. But however, Pilate is the only one that has any power in this situation. Pilate, he could have sent Jesus to be crucified or set him free hours before this question is ever asked to the crowd of people. And it seems that multiple times, Pilate stands before this crowd, openly stating that he believes Jesus should go free. But then the crowd yells something. Pilate goes back inside and questions Jesus again. We know at some point during this trial, during these conversations, that this happens. It's recorded in John chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all, unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So there's a lot of conversations going on. Pilate is asking Jesus. Pilate is standing before the crowd saying Jesus should go free. But Pilate is the only one that can answer that question. Now, judging on how he makes this ruling, I don't know if Pilate was very good at his job. But if Pilate was good at his job, he would have probably at least heard of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Pilate had a spy following Jesus around, giving a weekly report. But it is possible with the healings and the teaching that Jesus was doing around Israel, that Pilate could have heard of him. He may know a lot about him, or he might just know him as that Jewish teacher that seems to be causing a lot of problems. We don't know officially what was all going on with that. And it is also possible that that Pilate had little to no clue who Jesus was. Maybe Pilate missed the monthly email sent out on the daily lives of the Jewish people. We don't know. Pilate could have been oblivious to the healing and the teachings of Jesus. It had been 3 years that Jesus was doing this. Maybe Pilate didn't know. Pilate, after all, is a Roman. And if it doesn't bother Rome or affect Rome, Pilate doesn't care. But in either case, Pilate determines that in a morning that Jesus should be set free. Yet, I don't know why Pilate seems to be asking the crowd for this verdict. Pilate should have done his job and made the ruling on whether to let Jesus go or have him crucified. And that should have been the end of it. Jesus should have had a ruling made by Pilate right there. But yet that is not what happens. Pilate is determined to let Jesus go. In some ways, he's trying to force it. He sees Jesus as innocent and having committed no crime. Jesus is innocent. Now, I don't know if it's how trials happened in those days or if it was because there's so many people that were going one way or the other because Jesus was very popular. And a lot of people didn't like him, and a lot of people did. So maybe it was because it was a high-profile case that Pilate's kind of giving a press conference. Not entirely sure how this all works. But it almost seems like Pilate is trying to convince the crowd to give an innocent verdict. Pilate is kind of working hard at this, it seems, to try and get the crowd to have an innocent verdict. Because Pilate knew that Jesus should go free. And it seems that he tried, but at the end of the trial, Pilate lets the crowd make the verdict. The verdict that only Pilate should have been allowed to make. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, and he still sentenced Jesus to death on a cross. Pilate is the only one that could answer his own question. The question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" should have been something that Pilate whispered to himself. It should have been Pilate sitting there like, "What am I going to do?" It should have never gone to this crowd of people. He should have asked himself that question, not the crowd of people, especially with the stakes at hand. We're talking about the life of Jesus. Any life in the hand of Pilate should have been his decision. He was the governor. He was the one in charge. He had the authority. That's why they have that in place. Because if they just let the mob rule, then they just bring back stoning. And they would just, "Oh, we don't like you. I'll get enough people that will have a public execution." That's why Pilate was in that position, was to make that call. Especially with the fact that it determined death and life. But Pilate doesn't do his job, and he doesn't answer his own question. And that brings us to today. And the question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" is still a personal question. Now, I don't need to explain to you who Jesus is. And if this happens to be your first time hearing about Jesus, and you might actually need some answers, I'll give you a few quick things. Jesus is the Savior of your soul. Jesus is the Lord of the universe. Jesus is God, and Jesus loves you enough to have died on the cross for your sins. And the fact that you already know who Jesus is and what he did for you, it means that you can only answer this question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" in two ways. And they're the same two ways that Pilate had. It has the same effect. It is the difference between life and death. How this question is answered is the difference between between eternal life and eternal death. And that choice is up to us. You can choose death, claiming that if Jesus actually loved me, he won't have let my family member died. I would have never loved my job. The God I wish to worship would have never let this happen to me. If Jesus loved me, he would have put me in a family with a more loving mother, a more loving father, siblings that listen to me, siblings that help me. And so we can trick ourselves into thinking, Jesus doesn't love me because I have to deal with what we call life. Another way that we choose death as humans, as mankind, is, why would I give up my good life? I've got a good job. I've got a great 401k. Whatever thing you think that is great in your life that you might have to give up to be a Christian. To follow Jesus? It's out of the question. So no matter if you think you've got bad luck in this life, or you have great fortune in this life, both crowds of people, both groups are like, why would I follow Jesus? I'd either have to give something up, or he didn't give me what I wanted, so why would I follow him? Both choose death, and they're both on both sides. Or maybe you choose to not follow Jesus and choosing death by saying that, hey, I'm a Christian when I'm in the church building. Or maybe when I go to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. Or when Pastor Kent comes around the corner at Bronson's that I didn't see him before. It's like, oh yeah, you act like a Christian. Or maybe when you're alone and you're scared. Or maybe when you get sick, that's when you are like, oh yeah, I know, I'm a Christian, right? But in front of your friends, your coworkers, strangers, are you kidding me? I'm not a freak, am I? Why would I follow Jesus then? Jesus can stay in the church, far away from me. He can stay at my parents' house, and I'll visit Jesus when I want to, when I think I need him. But Jesus better stay out of my daily life, because I don't have time or room for Jesus. That's a lie that we tell ourselves when we're choosing death. Unfortunately, that's more common than all of us realize. And maybe you are trying to follow Jesus, and you open it up for the world to see if they approve of your choice of following Jesus or not. Then you allow the world to convince you, just like Pilate was convinced by the crowd, that the only option was death. And you let the crowd make your decision for you. You give up the right, and you're like, if that many people say it's wrong, it can't be true. So you take your choice away, and you give it to the world. And you don't follow the truth. That's how we choose death. We ignore Jesus. But when we choose Jesus, that's choosing life. And the way that we answer this question should be filled with a thankful heart, filled with joy that we can't explain. When you answer the question of, what shall I do with Jesus? It should be, he's the Lord. He's my Savior. How can I not follow him? 1 Peter 1, verse 8 through 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When you ask yourself this question, what should I do with Jesus? I hope and pray that you respond with worshiping Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your soul, not just your neighbors, not just your parents, but your soul. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you enough to have died on the cross for you. You might even shout it from the rooftops. You'll enter into a conversation with a stranger about heaven and hell and the truth of what Jesus did for you. You might go to another country and start a mission field. Or you could lead a family Bible study in your house with your family. God is going to use you greatly. The sky is literally the limit. Because when you choose Christ, that's when your life begins. So many people think of the things they have to give up. But when you choose Christ, Jesus gives you life. It is eternal life. How often do we hear on the news of people that don't know what they want to do? Now, I understand that a lot of times that's related to careers or things like that. But as Christians, it's pretty obvious. We want to serve Christ. It doesn't matter if we work in the mines, work in the ranch, work in a bank, work as a lawyer, maybe, I don't know. No matter what you're doing, you're serving Christ. And so, the question, what shall I do with Jesus, is six words. But how you answer that question will determine where you spend eternity. And I hope and pray that you choose life. I can't choose it for you. But Christ gave you that option. Before Christ, we had no option. All we had was death. But Christ took the death option with Pilate so that today, right now, you could have the life option. It is still your choice. So as you leave here tonight, I want you to ask yourself, what shall I do with Jesus? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you loved us enough to come down from heaven to earth to die on the cross for us. And that as you stood before Pilate, you knew that the verdict on that day was going to be death for you. But that death would only last for 3 days as you rose again from the grave. And so that today, right now, we could have the chance of choosing life with you. We thank you for your love and pray that you'd be with us in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.